fix my glasses.
Yep, I'm good.
Good evening and welcome. I'd like to call this meeting of the Marion County Planning Commission for December 16th in order. For tonight, the way we conduct public hearings are as follows. For the public hearing, this is the order of the hearing. Planning staff will do their review and give their staff report. Then the applicant or applicant's representative will testify. Next, an additional testimony in support of the application. Then anyone wishing to speak in opposition of the application. And then finally, we will allow opportunity for general comments, if any. At that point, the Planning Commission can decide either to close the public hearing to written or oral testimony and/or leave it open to one or the other and deliberate, or if necessary, continue the hearing to another date, which we would set if we did a continuance. I know we don't have many people here tonight, but I'm still going to hold your testimony to 3 to 5 minutes each. I want everybody here tonight to be heard, but please know that once you give your testimony is done. Members in the audience do not get the chance to rebut as the general applicant does. So if you have any questions, now would be the time to ask. We'll get going. Okay. The application of Sophie Wood and Jamin Winkler to petition a 14.14 acre parcel into two parcels of 2 acres and 2.14 acres and to take a variance to allow 8 dwellings to be served off a private easement in an AR residential agricultural zone located at 131 Schooley Lane, Silverton. 231? I'm sorry, 231. Thank you. With that, staff.
For the record, this is Alex Seifer with the Marion County Planning Division. The application before you today is a partition, application for a partition to divide a 4.14 acre parcel into two parcels of approximately 2 acres and 2.14 acres in an AR acreage residential. Just to, for the clarification, residential agricultural was said earlier, but it is acreage residential. And to take a variance to Marion County Code 17.110.800 to allow 8 dwellings to take access off a private road where 7 are currently allowed. The property is located at 231 Schooley Lane on the southwest side of Highway 214, known locally in Silverton as South Water Street, across Silver Creek from Highway 214. The parcel has 2 sections, which are physically distinct. The northeastern portion of the property closest to the creek is gently sloped and mostly open grass. The southwestern portion of the parcel contains the lower portion of a steep bluff, increasing in elevation roughly 170 feet over a 400-foot stretch. The parcel is currently vacant, but contains a driveway access to parcels to the south and a portion of the access easement on the northeast side of the Silver Creek. Surrounding uses include in all directions are primarily residential in use, though the degree to which the parcels are committed to those uses varies significantly. All immediately adjacent parcels on the southern side of Silver Creek in the Marion County jurisdiction area are all zoned acreage residential, such as this parcel is, and most are developed with at least 1 residence. All parcels north of Silver Creek within the low valley area are annexed into the city of Silverton as the creek forms the urban growth boundary for the city. All parcels within this annexed area are developed with residential uses, except for 1 small market that's in the Silverton area. The Planning Division solicited comments from applicable reviewing agencies. Agencies which provided comments include Marion County Building, Marion County Septic, the Marion County Tax Assessor's Office, Marion County Surveyor's Office, and the Silverton Fire District. These comments are included in the staff recommendation and are also available in the case file. Notably, no comments were received from ODOT in regards to this proposal. However, Schooley Lane takes access off an ODOT jurisdiction road, that being Highway 214. It's not county jurisdiction, it is ODOT's jurisdiction. And ODOT may have additional development requirements regarding access for the proposed partition and the variance. It will be recommended as an additional condition of approval that was not included in the original staff recommendation, that the applicants reach out to ODOT for any relevant development standards that they may have regarding this proposal. Moving on, I want to touch on the sensitive groundwater overlay zone. This parcel is within the sensitive groundwater overlay zone identified by Marion County. They submitted a hydrogeology review for peer review to Marion County Planning to meet the requirements of MC17.181.070, which requires demonstration of sufficient water supplies for partitions in the SGO zone. When the resultant parcels are less than 5 acres in size. The peer review found that the results of the hydrogeology review met all the criteria for hydrogeology reviews and that the review demonstrated sufficient water supply. A copy of the peer review results was included in the application. The actual review submitted was not included, doesn't need to be submitted in the application. It is available if it's so requested, but I warn you, it's quite dense and thick. Overall, for the findings, there are two components to this application, a partition and a variance. Each were reviewed with their own set of criteria. A more detailed breakdown of the sections is found in the staff review. After review, staff determined that the proposal meets the standards for both the AR zone and the specific criteria for granting a variance. There are no specific criteria for a partition in the AR zone, but Marion County Code 17.128.070 establishes a minimum lot size of 2 acres, which this proposal would meet. All proposed parcels meet or exceed the standard. There are 6 criteria that must be met for granting a variance. As mentioned before, staff recommendation breaks down these findings in regards to each of these criteria, but there are a few key aspects which I will first mention here. First, staff found that there are no significant adverse impacts on property or improvements or the health and safety of individuals that would result by approval of the proposal here, if appropriate conditions of approval are made regarding the condition and maintenance of the existing bridge. Second, there are unusual circumstances which do apply to the subject property. Namely, there are significant geographical features in the bluff to the southwest and the Silver Creek to the northeast that isolate the parcel. And there is also an existing access to the parcel which crosses the creek in the form of the bridge of Schooley Lane that is at the location of the parcel. It's not elsewhere. So those were the unique situations or if I can recall the unusual circumstances for this. Additional submissions were also received by Marion County Planning during the period leading up to before today's hearing. This was in the form of a letter submitted on behalf of a neighbor whose parcel uses Schooley Lane as access, if that is correct. The letter provides a number of different points, specifically listing both some of their concerns with the proposal and proposed additional conditions which they felt might address their concerns and would allow the proposal, which they felt would allow the proposal to also meet the criteria if they were added. I'm gonna address some of these issues that were brought up in this letter specifically here. First, the interested party requested that the hearing be continued to a later date. to allow the applicant and neighbor to meet and try to reach an agreement regarding the maintenance of the bridge before the next hearing. Staff does not recommend that the hearing be continued, as there is no way to guarantee that an agreement would be worked out before a new hearing or before the time limit runs out to make a decision on the case. Staff recommends, rather, a condition of approval similar to a later request proposed by the applicant be added to one of the conditions, meaning that being the addition of prior to plat approval for the deliberation about putting together a new and updated maintenance agreement. This would allow for a more reasonable time frame for the private parties to meet and discuss, as well as preventing approval of the plat from occurring until the necessary maintenance agreement is in place and agreed upon still. So the reworded condition would replace condition number 10. Second part, the neighboring party asked that the county find that the approval will not preclude other properties from future development. While this is understood, the request cannot be granted because the proposals are looked at a case-by-case basis. And staff can't assume impacts or no future conditions, and this is particular here, with regard to future applications on parcels not included in this application. Staff can look at the potential impacts of the case at hand, including future uses on the subject parcels, not ones, though, yet to be submitted when the situation could have changed on the non-subject parcels. Staff would like to state that this is the second variance that has been approved on the private lane, and it currently does not see reasons to deny future variances, that being future variances for others who use it or for the current applicant. This will tie into an additional question that was posed to me with regards to previous things. I'll discuss that later if the person feels that needs to be brought up at that time. But I have some further stuff if needed clarification is required for that point there. The neighboring party also has asked that an inspection of the bridge take place prior to a following hearing, if one takes place, or during the 30-day open record period following this hearing. Unfortunately, this is scheduling dependent upon a third party in the Silverton Fire District, and so over which we don't have control of planning scheduling. And by we, I mean, Marion County Planning does not have control over the scheduling or time available that that department has. So unfortunately, staff cannot recommend this condition. However, it can be made a condition that this review of the bridge be done prior to the approval of the plat, similar to the other one mentioned before. Again, this means that there is a mechanism that the conditions are inspected prior to any new lots being created. Once again, under that same point, the neighboring party requests that any improvements necessitated shall be the sole responsibility of the applicant. Staff is unable to dictate these specifics within a private maintenance agreement. A private maintenance agreement for a road easement is a civil agreement that must be agreeable to all parties who are involved in it. Otherwise, an agreement hasn't been reached. Additionally, conditions must be proportional to each proposal. The current condition of the bridge was the current condition of the bridge that was created by uses already in existence. I didn't phrase that. The current conditions that the bridge is, so the physical conditions that exist there, was created by uses that currently exist. They were not the result of this yet to be proposed use. And so, therefore, we cannot recommend this condition of approval. Lastly, the neighboring parties bring up that this request is an alteration to the proposed condition 10. Excuse me, I misread that. The neighboring parties bring up an alteration to proposed condition number 10, so that it would read prior to recording the final plat. Staff agrees with this proposal and agrees that phrasing should be included in front of other conditions as previously stated, to ensure that these different conditions are met, if they are deemed to be necessary to meet the conditions of approval for the variance, that they are met prior to any of the lots being created. That way we can enforce that they actually happen. I've actually already recommended the ODOT thing, so I did that a little out of order, but once again, recommendation would be to add a condition of approval. We have a section in land use cases that's under essentially recommended and other regulations applicable stuff. This is generally where we recommend people to talk to or say, hey, these are also other agencies that have applicable regulations, like the fire district. In this case, we would add ODOT and ensure that ODOT is contacted to make sure that their requirements are also met for access to it. With that, staff has prepared a detailed report assessing the applicable decision criteria and, based on the evidence in the record, recommends approval of the proposed partition and variance subject to specific conditions.
Hey, do we have questions for staff? Yes, I do.
We do.
Let me start. You are asking us to make a decision on conditions of approval that it looks like you're adding or changing a number of those that we don't have. And I find it really hard to make a decision on conditions of approval that we can't see and don't have. So
the only one that's a true addition of a condition that's not written down is the one with referencing ODOT at this time that we're saying you should do this. The rest of them are going to be as determined as necessary for compliance, would be to just add simply the phrasing prior to plat approval. And that would be the only variation that we're proposing to add, or rather agree with the suggestions by the interested parties in adding to these. Typically the way land use cases are written for us is that we have in our conditions section, we have we put a bolded header line over a certain section of the conditions of approval, and that will say prior to plat approval, and then all following conditions under that section are subject to being completed prior to the approval of a partition plat. I will admit to the omittance of that header line on this one here, because this was a staff recommendation, which is slightly different than written, a slightly different formatting than the staff approval and staff decision. And so would have been included, but yeah, that's the only difference other than the ODOT recommendation that is being proposed or at least suggested to add on to it.
Okay. Anybody else have questions?
Yeah. My question is, if the oppositional party requests an extension, are we not obligated to grant it at the first hearing?
They're
not obligated to accept it.
Okay. And then
you can go either way.
Okay. And then typically with the ODOT coordination, isn't that something that staff would do in the planning process, or was that just missed, or was it something that is the applicant's responsibility?
A little bit of both in this situation. ODOT was sent this application as part of the request for comments, if I remember correctly, because they were the road, they're the access group that comes off of this. So generally what happens is we receive requests for comment from the agencies that are notified. Just because an agency doesn't respond to us with through the RFC process, it doesn't mean that their regulations and standards aren't still applicable to the development. It just meant that they didn't provide basically a heads up notice to the applicant that these do exist. It's not uncommon for us to not get comments from agencies such as ODOT or ODF or other statewide agencies for certain proposals. We just didn't receive anything. We did receive comments from Marion County LDEP, which is essentially, for the functional purposes of this, they're essentially the county version of it, and they basically said, we have no problem with it, but it also, with the inference that it was not their jurisdiction, it's ODOT's jurisdiction, and so it's their thing. But yeah, that's kind of it. It's this condition is more of saying, hey, these may exist, speak to ODOT, and that's where the applicant's responsibility does lie to do it.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question. So you read up a whole laundry list of stuff very rapidly there, okay? We were just handed this letter as we came in, and I agree there with George, that's a lot to digest. But my question was that you, as part of those conditions that you were incorporating or adding to, would clear up those road easement records and make everything, make sure it's on record and everything's complied with to satisfy McKinney's concerns, is what you're doing?
Yes, basically, so the ones that talk about the inclusion of parcels on any existing or new road maintenance agreements, such as that being made prior to plat approval, basically ensuring that the parcels are a part of these road maintenance agreements and that either new ones created incorporating everything or however it gets done and goes about, ensuring that that is done prior to the lot actually being created. So they have to get that done in order to get the lot created, ultimately.
One of the concerns here was there was no recording of some of those easements. Is that going to be looked at and taken care of also?
It would have to be to use it. It's so road easements, they're civil agreements between the people and the parties who get to use it. So whatever exists in place or whatever lacks to exist in place, that will be made, that can be made a condition of approval. So the language could be changed to ensure that one is made, to ensure that one exists. Generally speaking, depending on the age of an easement, there can or can't be certain road maintenance agreements in place. Ironically, this is one of the things that usually gets mentioned by Marion County LDEP when it comes to these kinds of partitions, Marion County LDEP will usually say, hey, make sure there's a road maintenance agreement in place if there isn't one, or make sure to add it onto. In this case, that role would have been filled by ODOT, and because we didn't get any comments from them, it kind of puts in a tough situation. Doesn't mean that we can't make it a requirement to do that, but that's kind of what it would be and what the purpose of this would be for.
Okay, well, I'm going to be a little bit of a loss without that stuff in front of me as those conditions go down, as you read off a bunch of those. I'm for having it redone a little bit so we can have look at those and approve something on those conditions instead of verbal, have it on a paper that we can read.
Do you have the staff recommendation page in front of you?
Yeah, I do have the staff recommendations.
So with this one, it's sort of the staff recommendation for this is we can leave it up to you to decide which ones that are necessary that is felt to be necessary to come prior to it, as far as like, hey, this is a condition that needs to be done prior to plat approval. And then those can be either that have that language specifically added to that condition as felt necessary by the Planning Commission, or it can be done in the other style where we put a header over it and then it's added to it that way. But I can provide the specific conditions to which they were referencing, and staff was suggesting that it get added to. If you want to make a note, I can make those specifically clear where that language would be added to.
Is it my understanding that that's condition 10?
Yes, the one that was brought up by the interested party was specifically condition 10. So staff agreed to that one definitely would have prior to plat approval added in front of it.
Also, you when you were like adding on to number 10, you said this would be amended and added to 10, that those list of conditions. I don't know if there's, did you have it written down that we can put in as part of condition 10 verbatim as you requested?
Yeah, so it would be simply just adding like literally the words, prior to plat approval and then verbatim as written, unless an alteration of language is determined to be necessary to make it make sense for the situation. This was what it was proposed as, just as going forward, but if you feel that there are alterations to the way that the conditions are worded in order for it to make sense for it, the suggestions are open and they can be made.
Yeah, road maintenance is really gonna be important for that road. I went there today and the current road is horrible. It really needs a lot of, and that was one of the, that was the first thing I thought of when I drove in. They need road maintenance. This has gotta be a key factor because you had four more houses. It's not gonna get better.
Like in other areas, is they have road maintenance agreements and cars can hide in the holes, you know, in the ground or something. One of the persons involved in those said that, well, they're property owners, but they're not here, so it won't get done. And so is there a way to make sure these road maintenance agreements work or is being?
So the way that road maintenance agreements are enforced is, since they're civil agreements, it would be upon the members of the road maintenance agreement to basically enact civil action with each other, because that is the process. That's the process. It is a legal agreement between the property owners. And so it does fall on the civil side.
So what you're saying is that to rewrite this on number 10 is just put in the words prior to plat approval?
Plus.
Is that how we would address that?
That's correct.
It would read.
Just for the record, Austin Barnes, Marion County Planning. And that's correct. That is the language being proposed prior to plat approval. Both parties, or those new lots, would be included in any existing or new road maintenance agreements. In regards to road maintenance agreements, typically LDAP would review a notarized road maintenance agreement because they don't have jurisdiction here. That was not required by them, but it could be required by us. We could have the applicant submit to us a notarized road maintenance agreement for recordation in the file on record before they get a plat approved. So we could require that as a condition of approval and enforce it ourselves.
And I
got a question.
Are you done, Ben?
I'm done.
You done?
I was gonna respond to him just by reading aloud the language that would be for it, just for the clarity of everyone. The number 10 with the alteration would read, prior to plat approval, both resultant parcels shall be included in any existing road maintenance agreements for the private easement. That was it.
I got a question on one of these other conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7.
The static level water measurement one?
Yes. Explain what exactly. I've never seen that in these before. Is that something new, or is that something, what was the reasoning behind 7?
No, so number 7, which reads, a static water level measurement shall be taken for any existing wells on the subject property prior to plat approval. That's a standard condition of approval when we're doing partitions in an SGO zone. Particularly when parcels require a hydrogeology review for approval. It's a standard one. It is different than how subdivision ones work. So in case there's any confusion with that, partitions as a very standard or condition of approval, they don't have an observation well, which can be required as part of a subdivision approval. In the case of a partition, a static water level measurement can be taken prior to plat approval, and then also at the point of building permit submission for recordation of what the static water level measurement is at that time. It's a condition of approval that we can approve. It's listed under one of the applicable conditions of approval that can be put on in the SGO zone code. And essentially what it is to do is it provides data and information for Oregon Water Resources so they can keep track of what the water levels are looking like in these SGO zones. It's basically the canary in the coal mine attempting to see where the water level is at best we can when we approve additional development. And it helps out future hydrogeologists with making their reviews when other partitions are done that include the subject parcel in the study area.
Who's required to take the reading?
That one. Had that printed out, but I'll go to the code here. It lists the different parties under the SGO zone. Zone code. So let me go.
So by a professional that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, well, a certified well driller is one of the individuals who.
Well, the reason I'm bringing this up because you can take a static water reading right after somebody's been irrigating all morning, and it's a false reading. And we went through this with the SGO zone in the McClay area, and there's a lot of false information that was out there because of this kind of stuff where you don't really have any control over who's using the well and when and what, and, you know, and you go out there and check the water level, it can drastically change in a 8-hour period in some cases.
Most certainly. This is not meant to dictate whether the partition can still go through, specifically at the point in time.
Right, but you said it was to gather data for future.
It is meant to gather.
And this is where you get false information if it's not properly done.
And certainly I understand that it can be improperly done, and there are limits to the individuals who can take static water level measurements.
Okay, well, that's good.
So there is a check on who that is. It's actually listed on the static water level monitoring sheet that we provide when people come to get building permits. It lists off the individuals who can get it. Almost always it's a certified well driller who's doing that and putting their name on it. So it's almost always been the person who is actually creating the well at that point.
There is some checks and balances on it.
There is, yes. Okay. There are restrictions on who can actually
Thanks.
Do a static well level measurement.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. When does this application reach 150 days?
That up. I do apologize because I am usually using a mouse and keyboard, and so the touchpad is particularly aggravating for me. Currently, the county decision due date is April 6th, 2026.
Thank you. Thank you. And one more question. Did staff give any weight to the previously approved variance when making findings for this variance request?
Yes, to a degree. The degree to which we looked at it is that was the starting point from which the variance is taken. So the rule that limits the number of dwellings that can access off of a private road easement, that one specifically, and I'll just, for the posterity of it, say it, that again was Marion County Code 17.110.800. That one specifically references four dwellings off of a private road easement. This parcel had a previous variance application done on it, or it was included in a variance application that included other parcels that was approved to allow Schooley Lane to serve seven dwellings at that point in time. That went through and was ultimately approved. And so that was the starting point from which this is done. So technically the variance is 8 from where 7 is allowed in this certain situation. So that was part of where it was taken into account. It was also taken into account that there are ways that if certain conditions can be applied to a proposal such that we can make sure that the road is in good condition, if there are mechanisms by which we can apply prior to the approval of a plat, then we can't, the proposal can be done in a way that can meet the variance criteria. And that was also part of it, is that there is a possible way to meet the variance criteria for this particular parcel. But it was mostly taken as its own separate thing and reviewed as such. It's what would the impact of an additional dwelling being able to be served from this private lane, what would the impact be, and does the proposal meet the variance criteria for the proposal at hand?
Do we have any other questions for staff? Thank you. With that, is the applicant or his representative here tonight? It's now your time. Please come forward. Make sure anybody that is going to testify, I need your name, home address, firstborn child, all that.
Sophia Wood, 241 Schooley Lane, Silverton, Oregon, 97381.
Damon Wonker, Schooley Lane, 241 Schooley Lane.
Okay, so hopefully this will clear some of your questions up. There is a maintenance agreement. I didn't turn it in with the application. It was with the previous variance application, all the deeds, the original deeds, the ones that carried on, the one that got passed to us. So I just wrongly assumed that it was on file. That is my mistake. I think that a lot of this probably could have been cleared up before that. But I brought the original one. I can read it if you guys want to see what the maintenance says. But basically, it does say that everybody on Schooley Lane has shared maintenance of the bridge and the road. I think originally the property that we bought owned one half of the bridge and another property owned the other half. I think that has kind of gotten divvied up as sales happened throughout the years. We're talking about like 1899, I think, when it was originally divided up and started getting parceled out. So that maintenance agreement in our deed does carry to the property in question. So we assumed when we partitioned it to made and that easement and the condition of that. That was always our intention. I do apologize for not including it because I think that probably, but I was in communication with our neighbor. I'm not sure how we missed that, but so we always planned on making sure that the maintenance agreement was followed. Currently, it's kind of like everybody works on it on their own time. I know you said you drove one. It is really bad right now. That happens really quickly. Actually, somebody just put gravel maybe like a month ago.
Yeah.
So he would have driven by then, but with all the rain that just happened, that gravel way. But my husband currently is trying to find a path down there and clear out the gutters. When that happens, it actually keeps it maintained. But yeah, I mean, we're totally willing to whatever property owners. Well, have any issues with the condition? Fire department wants us to inspect the bridge. Of course, we. Have these things if you guys want them. It's a lot of paperwork, but it does read. There's the description of the property. This is the original. Kind of all the, it got passed to this person and that person, and then.
You can give that to staff. They can enter it in to the record for us. And do we have any? Do you have anything else to add?
Property into two lots, and
is there an existing house on either parcel?
No, so we own 20 acres, 24 total. So we have a 20-acre lot that when we bought the property, there was actually three lots. So when you see that, it will show parcel one, parcel two, and parcel three. We already sold one of the parcels. That was when we did the original variance. It allowed that parcel to have a house and the 4-acre parcel, and we live on a 20-acre parcel, which we have a house on that. So
you have a 20-acre parcel next to this?
Right next to it, yep.
You have a house on that?
Yeah.
And so this parcel that you're dividing has no no residence or anything on it?
Nope.
Any other questions for the applicant?
I'm curious. Were you living there in 96 when the flood came through?
No, we bought it in 2021.
Okay. I wonder how high the water went in 96.
Yeah. But we were not. But I think that there is a flood line that
Thank you for your presentation. I am struggling with the fact that this is the second variance, and in the first variance, it said that was the minimum necessary. And so I don't know how we come back again. I also disagree with staff that we are looking at this as going from 7 to 8 because the code says 4, and we're hearkening back to that's the standard that you're varying. So I think that we need to be looking at this as going from 4 to 8 dwellings. And I'm just curious, you don't have to share this information, but are you going to want to further develop your 20 acres in the future?
We don't have any plans for that.
No. Okay.
I will say that when we first variance, there were already 5 residences on Schooley Lane. So when that law was made, or that code was written, I think it was in the 70s sometime, we worked with a guy who was actually involved with that, and he said that 4 was just some like arbitrary number that they came up with, that they had thought about making it 10 on a private lane, and they just decided to go with 4, but there wasn't necessarily some strict reason why they decided 4, because private lanes vary so much, and there's so many different circumstances to a private lane, that why would 4 be like this standard that we could apply to all places at all times? And in this case, this is just unused land that, you know, especially in a time when people need more housing and space to build 2 houses, it doesn't seem like anything other than, you know, you have to get across this bridge to get to it. If it was in town, it would be no issue.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you that the code needs to be reviewed, because why are we limiting it to 4? But that's the current code that we have to operate under. And so I think the issue is that the variance criteria is incredibly discretionary. So adverse impacts to whom, right? This is probably really beneficial to you guys. Does it adversely impact your neighbors? I'm sure it does, right? But so I'm just trying to weigh all of the evidence, and I appreciate your responses.
One thing that our neighbors said in their letter was that they would like Marion County to consider making it a public road and then maintaining it. We would be totally on board with that. So if you guys want to write that into your decision and have Marion County come out and fix up the road, take care of it, and make it public, that would be great.
Wish we could.
What is the width of the easement for the bridge?
I think it's 20 feet. That's what it says in the deed.
Because on the maps, it kind of shows this property going across the creek.
Yeah, so we have a strip of property across the bridge, and our neighbors, not the neighbors that are here tonight, they also have a strip of property.
So what's the total width of that piece that they have property?
Yeah, maybe 20 on each side.
So it's 40 total.
So there's four. So there's actually 40 feet there.
Probably, yeah.
This is the property that's right
here. Is 40 feet enough for the county to make it a public road and improve the bridge and let them divide their 20 acres?
This one.
Nice try, though.
The bridge is in great shape. There's nothing wrong with the bridge. It's on either side of the bridge, it's gravel. And so when people drive fast over that,
But that can be remedied. What's the weight? Is there a weight limit on the bridge, or has somebody crossed that bridge to drill wells?
Yeah, it's. I think they said that it's engineered the same as Silver Falls Highway out there. It was redone. I'm sure Ed and Judy have this information. Yeah, they know a lot about the bridge.
So there's not a weight issue.
Exactly.
Fire tankers drive across it recently.
Yeah, last summer.
They weigh quite a bit. They're kind of short. But yeah, it's. I think the fire department has like.
So there's not an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bridge itself is in good shape. It's just the gravel on either side that needs to be cleaned up, but it does happen.
Well, that could be remedied probably with the asphalt too.
We've thought about that actually. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for the applicant?
Yeah, I just had a question about the configuration of the two lots that you've proposed, and with the easement off of the easement. I guess if you could explain why you chose to divided out in this particular configuration?
Just to make sure there's enough space for each lot to have a good place to build a house. So the one that you can see kind of gets narrow, that goes uphill. Mm-hmm. So, you could probably excavate, but it'd be nicer to have just a flat area. And so that lower area is really flat and conducive to having a house and a well and all those things. And the other piece is on the creek, so that's already kind of an advantage to have a creek front property. So we wanted to just give a little bit more of that open flat area to the other lot.
I'm assuming there's room to build houses on them.
Yes.
Yeah, just trying to give equal flat ground, really.
Yeah.
Any other questions for the applicant? Thank you. Is there anybody here tonight to talk in favor of this application? Okay, seeing none, we will then go into the opposition side. And you want to start? Okay. Give me your name, address, all that good stuff.
Emily Rich, I'm an attorney at Saulfeld Griggs. I'm representing Ed and Judith McKinney. They're the property owners at 220 Schooley Lane. Oh, sorry, to track. My address is 250 Church Street, Suite 200, Salem, Oregon, 97301. I represent Ed and Judith McKinney. They own the property at 220 Schooley Lane. It's approximately 14.75 acres, also zoned AR. in our letter, we included a map that shows where it's located in reference to the property. To begin, I'd like to offer exhibits into the record. Copies for everyone. A lot of discussion about the recorded road easement, and unfortunately, as I mentioned, it was not included in the application materials, but it was heavily relied on to show compliance with the variance criteria. And so our office ordered a title report, and we were able to find what is possibly what they're referencing as the road agreement. We can't be sure because we don't have a copy, but it's dated 1949. It references a bridge. It's possibly the bridge at issue. However, it's not actually a recorded agreement. It's a deed that has maintenance provisions in the deed. And this is important because it may not include all the users of the road, only the persons who are predecessors or subsequent owners in interest to these people in the deed would be subject to it. There's also the issue that the second paragraph, where it references the bridge, states the interest is in that certain bridge as now constructed across Silver Creek. The bridge has been replaced once in about 1960, once again in about 1999. The second document included in that packet is just provide a general timeline of the bridge project to show it was replaced in 1999, beginning about the summer. It ended in 2000. And so our concern is that, assuming this is the agreement that's being referenced, it still might not include all the users of the road. It also includes, assuming it does apply, it clearly states that there's a weight limit of 6 tons, which would not allow construction or heavy equipment to cross it, and so there needs to be a new agreement put in place. We think it would be beneficial for our parties. Yes?
8 tons?
Six. It says 8 or 6? Oh, 8. Yeah, sorry about that. It's an old copy. It does say 8 gross tons.
Now that will allow any construction equipment across.
It will.
Well, what's the date on this?
It's 1949.
Well, let's go to when they rebuilt the bridge in 2000. What was the weight limit then?
2000. And so the question is, it's unclear whether it would even still be applicable, whether it includes everyone it needs to include. And so, as I mentioned, it's the applicant's burden to show that the criteria has been met and that there are no significant adverse impacts on surrounding properties. Without a proper agreement in place to make sure all maintenance is taken care of, there will be adverse impacts not only to the McKinney property, but possibly other properties who rely on this bridge as well. It's been noted that there's already deferred maintenance needs. We know that it's needed for the road both north and south of the bridge. We think the bridge is in good shape, based on the look of it, but it's also 25 years old, and we can't say without an expert opinion what the actual status of the bridge is. The fire department noted that it needs to be inspected, and so we can't say what maintenance might also be needed on the bridge, what might be needed as a result of the increased dwellings, which will include heavy construction vehicles, not just resident traffic. All these would be significant adverse impacts, which is why we'd like a continuance of at least a month to be able to just meet with the applicant, as well as try to identify all the users of the bridge to be able to come to an agreement. At the very least, we'd like the record to be left open for 30 days to allow for the, try to achieve the same goals. We appreciate that staff has agreed somewhat to some of our proposed conditions, but the exact language they're proposing is not the same as what we've proposed. If you just add prior to recording the final plat in front of their condition 10, it only references any existing agreements. So if this isn't subject to all the users, then now we're in a situation where not everyone's included. There's a lot of uncertainty. Some users might not be subject, and now they're not required to be included before the final plat can be approved. So we noted there's a lot of uncertainty as to, you know, you don't have the revised conditions in front of you. We think it would be beneficial for everyone to either have the hearing continued or allow for an open record period to kind of resolve these issues and make sure there's no adverse impacts on property owners going forward. As we also mentioned in our letter, we understand that staff can't approve a variance for a property or an application that's not in front of them now, but we would like to include at least some finding of fact to establish a precedent that similarly situated properties such as the McKinney's would also potentially meet this criteria for a variance. The unusual circumstances that are outlined in the variance application apply equally to the McKinney property. They also don't have reasonable access to a public road. They also rely directly for Schooley Lane. And if they were precluded from development going forward based on the approval of this variance, that would be a significant adverse impact. The AR zone allows outright use of a certain level of density. As he noted by staff, there's not really partition criteria. They want you to be able to divide your lot, develop it, and so if other owners are being precluded based on this variance, that's a significant adverse impact that needs to be addressed. As we mentioned in our letter, we request that the inspection of the bridge take place either during this continuance or during the open record period. It's important to know what needs to happen to the bridge now before we enter into an agreement, because that'll be important for coming to terms, especially if there's gonna be upgrades needed as a result of applicants' use. Currently, for example, the bridge is only one lane. We'd like to get comment from Public Works as to what amount of traffic would require an upgrade to a two-lane bridge, how much can the bridge handle, things like that that just need time to resolve. I'm happy to address any questions you have.
I have one question. When was notice given for this partition?
I can't speak to that.
The reason I ask is I see your letter is dated yesterday.
Yes, we were in.
It's a little concerning given that here we are the day before the meeting getting all these things that you're asking for.
Yes, no, I understand, and we can only work so fast. You know, the property owners got noticed, they sought our engagement, we have our own administrative time for being able to take on that matter and then be able to try to get records. As I mentioned, we ordered the title report right away, but it didn't get here until this morning, and so we wanted to be able to submit that before the letter, but we had to make sure that we're preserving, you know, our clients' interests and making sure we're getting comments in.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Do you know the width of the bridge, physically the width of the drivable surface of the bridge?
I'm not aware of the drivable surface of the bridge. I don't have that information, and I don't believe it was included in the application. There's a lot of information that sadly was not included.
Okay, Alex, maybe you can help us with that. I don't know if you know the drivable width of the bridge.
I don't remember it off top of hand. I can't remember if that was specifically included in the application. I actually don't think that was.
Specifically included. For it.
So I don't know at this time. I don't believe I know that.
Okay. Maybe when the applicant rebuts, they can help us try to understand how wide it is. My next question. So you talk about setting precedent for your client. And by not doing that, that could result in adverse impacts on their ability to see potential development. Don't you think that denial of this application has that same effect?
It might, but the criteria is adverse effect on property or improvements in the neighborhood of the subject property, and this would apply. This would be adverse impacts not only just to the McKinney property, but the map shows there's several properties zoned AR. We don't exactly know how many take access off Schooley Lane. It's at least five, according to the staff report. And so it's not just, you know, our client's property being affected. The applicants mentioned they sold a property to someone as part of the variance. I believe that property could also be probably divided again. And so I'm not clear if they're taking access off the bridge, but it looks like there would be multiple property owners who would be affected, whereas only the applicants would be benefited by this variance.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
One additional comment. I use the measuring tool in the Marion County GIS mapping software to get an estimate of the width of the drivable surface of the bridge. I got about 13.5 feet, so that's including probably the side pillars, so it's probably something like a 12-foot width drivable surface around that width.
Okay. Does anybody else wish to testify tonight? You good? Okay. With that, any rebuttal from the applicant? And name and addresses again, please, for the record.
Damon Wonker, 241 Schooley Lane, Silverton, Oregon.
So the one she had in 1998 or 1949, but it is updated again in 1993, which says that a 1/2 interest in the right title and interest conveyed by L. Harvey Benson and Alice R. Benson, that certain agreement entered into on the 9th day of June, or on the 10th day of June, 70, page 707. Roadway and bridge guarantees hereby assume their proportionate share of the maintenance and upkeep of said bridge and roadway agree to all the same terms and conditions. That's in 1992. And yeah, it is a different bridge now, but I think that there's two different bridges now. So that. I will say that when I submitted the application, I did text Judy McKenzie that day and said, hey, I just turned in our application. We're doing another variance. We're trying to divide the property. So I have been in communication. Have talked about the agreement. I'm surprised that she didn't just reach out to me. But as far as the future, like, I mean, I think that it's kind of hard to base one thing off of what could other people possibly do in the future, because I don't know, but there are 5 houses on Schooley Lane right now. We do know that. There is potential for 3 more houses that have already been approved. Well, 2 more houses that have been approved. So, you know, we have an issue with our neighbors also. Private lane, but other than that, it doesn't. You know, if you were trying to a bunch of tiny lots and or understand. Other than making sure we do updates or on the road and so that.
Any further questions for the applicant? Yes.
You said that you're open and willing to talk to your neighbor. One of the things that they're asking us to consider is a continuation or holding the record open for 30 days. I think in order for that to happen, county staff is going to want an extension to the jurisdictional deadline. Are you open to giving a 30-day extension, or are you not open to that?
I mean, I'd rather not, just took like 2 months.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Approved, it was another month, and then another month of.
That's actually pretty fast.
Yeah.
Good job.
Well, it was longer. I don't know. I'm probably just daydreaming.
Okay, so you're not interested in an extension.
I mean, if that is like the condition of approval, we will. I feel like as neighbors, we probably could just out having 30 days or anything. I mean, I texted her yesterday and said, hey, do you want to meet up and talk about the road maintenance agreement? She didn't respond to me, but I mean, she hired a lawyer, so I guess that, I don't know. Like I said, I'd rather not wait 30 days, but if we have to, then yeah, I mean.
Thank you.
So I think you just testified earlier that you did contact them about the time you made application?
The date that I turned the application.
So that was October 8th?
Yes.
And they didn't respond, or did they respond?
She said, I thought you already had a variance. So I said, yeah, we did, but we, because we wanted to divide it. I mean, I had told her before we turned the application that we were planning on dividing it. We talked about the water study. I actually sent her a copy of the full hydrogeology study just so she could have the information. So she knew that we were, doing that.
All right, thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you. With that, we are now in the deliberation stage, and I will entertain motions.
Do we have discussion first, or do you want to have a motion first?
What's that?
Do we want to discuss first, or do we have a motion first?
Normally, I think we would do a motion first and then discuss.
To close the public hearing, right?
Yes.
So you're entertaining a motion to close the public hearing?
Correct.
Well, I think we need to discuss if we're going to do.
You want to discuss first?
Just the continuance and open record period before we close the hearing.
Have a go.
I'm inclined to keep the record open, especially with the inconsistencies regarding the deeds versus the maintenance agreements and some potential lack of clarity on who's involved in that and ensuring that all of the property owners who are obligated to maintain the bridge are included on that maintenance and easement agreement or whatever that document is. So I would like an opportunity to review it if possible.
Sounds to me like staff could maybe do that if we do make that a condition of the plat approval.
Daisy, are you asking for the record to be held open, or are you asking for continuance?
I think that the opponent had requested either or, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think whatever staff feels is helpful to get that information.
So staff's position, just to preface what staff's one is, our stance is we don't feel that that's necessary, and that was one of our in the discussion about what was submitted, we disagreed that we didn't feel that it was necessary and that we felt that instead of keeping the record open and prolonging getting the approval to this, we can approve the proposal here, but the actual partitioning of the lots is contingent upon that agreement being made and being established first. So instead of keeping the record open while we have the deadline to get a decision out, the staff's position is we get we do the decision and we condition the approval based on ultimate fulfilling of it.
It says right here in the notice that before the close of the initial evidentiary hearing, any party may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, argument, or testimony. The Planning Commission shall grant the request by continuing the hearing or leaving the record open for at least 7 days.
So that's different. That's slightly different than just like an open record period necessarily. In this situation, what we're saying is we make it a condition of approval that goes after the decision. It's not necessarily saying that we don't think an open record period is necessarily required, but rather that instead of limiting the time frame or putting this within that time frame of having to put together this decision, this new maintenance agreement, we condition it afterwards, after the approval is granted. If they cannot get a maintenance agreement sorted out and solved, then the partition never happens because they cannot complete the condition of approval.
Can I jump in? I think what Daisy is saying is that the notice says that we shall grant it, but I believe that this body has operated that we get to decide historically. So I think we're trying to understand, do we have an obligation to do that because that's what the notice says? Or do we get to decide if we continue or hold the record open?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that point. I think this is interesting because typically when we talk about an open record period, it's to submit additional evidence that they know that they're going to submit. I think here we have uncertainty that what if a road maintenance agreement isn't procured within 7 days or 30 days, then we have an open record period and we still don't have what we needed. So then what do we do with the application, I think is the thought. I think if they said, hey, we'd like to go measure the road, do an analysis of it, we can do that in 2 weeks and get it right back to you and have analysis of the roadway safety or something like that, we'd say okay. But if there's no certainty that they're going to actually work out an agreement, and if it has to include all the parcels, then that may hurt this application and not get it across 150 days.
Which is why I think a continuance might be the appropriate mechanism there if we're required to do something based on what the notice says. It says shall, which should scare every planner, right?
Yeah. We can take a five minute break and I can consult our planning director on this and see what his interpretation and what we should do.
I think that would be really good. I think so.
So you're requesting a 5 minute recess?
Yes.
I'm going to give you 10.
Oh, look at that. It's Christmas.
You recess for 10 minutes.